Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two, Ben and Woods. 97.3 The Fan. Good Wednesday morning to you. Middle of the week is the sun not up yet, but I can start to see some light percolating in the East Woods. We had that call from listener JR who pitched minor league baseball.
Yeah.
And we both kind of felt a little vindicated after what he had to say. And one thing he mentioned was that the Yankees have a 30-pitch limit per inning organization-wise that you get that high, they're just taking you out because the risk for injury becomes too high. And what really resonated was when he said, maybe they let Blake Snell go over that the previous batter because they wanted to give him, a veteran, a chance
to get out of
that inning.
His last batter looked pretty ugly.
Yeah, I mean, and Gavin just tweeted at us, Snell threw behind and hit the last guy he faced and was at almost 40 pitches. I'm with Tingler pulling him. It was so uncharacteristic of Snell. I would have been scared he was hurt, and since it was so early in the season, I'm not risking anything. It reminded me of a story our colleague Chris Ello once told me long ago. Probably don't know this about Chris, but at least in the old days, he could pack away the food. The guy was an eater, and he was once at a sushi restaurant, and they were dining with friends, he and his wife Lori. And the guy that they were eating with said, I bet you can't eat 120 pieces of California roll.
Oh,
and Chris said,
I think
I can do that. So they ordered whatever it was, 12 California rolls to see if he could do it.
12.
Because there was like 10 pieces.
Yeah, 10 a roll. Oh, my God.
See if he could finish it out. And Chris told me, I got to 108. And they were going, "What? You were so close. Why didn't you just power through and finish it?" And he said, you know the answer. I said, I do. Because you just powered through the previous 12 to get to 108. I mean, you had gone beyond your limits just to get that close. And this could be the same situation with Blake Snell. They already may have let him go a little beyond his limits to try to power through. You're just compounding your mistake with, hey, okay, well, let him go one more. Let's let him go two more batters. Let him go three more batters. At some point, if you're the manager, you have to pull that plug. You have to say, all right, I can't let him go another batter, just because it's a pitcher. You keep rationalizing why he gets to face another batter, and all of a sudden, that's when you have an injury. That's when you have a real disaster on your hands. So, I will defend Jay Stengler's decision to pull him. In fact, if I'm going to be critical, might have been not pulling him the batter before that, before the eighth hitter, and not making the move even sooner.
So, Nabil Crismat does not get the same treatment?
Maybe not. Okay. I don't know. It's
so not organizational.
He might not have gotten even to that eighth batter, as opposed to, you know, Blake Snell, who was able to get that eighth batter. I would guess he would take, just like Taylor Williams in his last inning. I'm sure Jay Stengler would have loved to
see Pagan.
Emilio Pagan not have to go into that game, but again, wants to be careful with those arms and saw that Taylor Williams was done and didn't feel like he could push him another batter. So ended up having to go to his bullpen when obviously he didn't want to do that. I mean, he's not stupid. He knows he's better off if Pagan doesn't get into that game, but he doesn't want to risk these young arms this early in the season. But you've got to feel pretty good about what he said. I think a really good explanation as to why, even though the Pirates probably weren't throwing intentionally at the Padres, you still have to send a message.
Well, you got to let them know. It's twofold. It's you got to let the Pirates know, hey, man, we're not going to take this. Figure it out. figure it out. You guys are in the big leagues. All right, you're throwing 95 up there, and you have no idea where it's going. That's on you, Derek. What's their manager, Derek Shelton? That's on you. Don't put these turds in there if they can't find the plate. Figure it out, because we're not going to stand up here and be punching bags. And I got to tell you, man, after watching
this, if I'm Derek Shelton, I'm going, if I had better pitchers, believe me,
we wouldn't be the Pirates.
Using them.
Yeah, 100%. But the the fact that Taylor Williams, like I said, I mean, Jace didn't order that. This didn't come from Jace. That came from Taylor Williams saying, all right, I mean, you're going to hit my guy twice. You're going to hit the other guy in the head. Okay, I get it. Maybe unintentional, but figure it out, because we have weapons too. We have guys that throw really hard too. I'm one of them. So here you go. Here's one high and tight. You know, hey, it slipped out of my hand. Meant to just buzz the tower a little bit. Got you in the back. But every guy in that clubhouse today, Ben, they know that Taylor Williams has their back, and that's important in a 162-game season as you're fighting for a pennant and all of the above. It's important.
We'll have more on this Padres game later this hour, including an update on Will Myers and a possible maybe roster move for the Padres today that at least Woods and I are speculating on, as well as Tommy Pham's continued struggles, and if the Padres need to do something about it at this point. That was another ugly game for Tommy Pham yesterday, and he's just not pulling himself out of the tailspin to start this season. It's becoming a real problem.
I was watching the game last night trying to convince myself, well, at least he got on twice, and then you see him come up with the bases loaded and just every time, and you're like, all right, I can no longer defend that. It sucks. I want him to do well, obviously. I don't root against him. I know a lot of people do. I don't. But you got to come through at least once.
Right now, though, I need to take a little break from talking about this game just for a couple of minutes.
Fine by me.
Let's get to today's edition of the Rindle Report.
You're listening to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's my man, CJ.
CJ.
All right, not a real story here, just some good audio. I see this in the NBA yesterday. Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves doesn't know who the new owner is going to be.
It's amazing.
We talked about this.
He knows who the new owner is going to be. He knows the name. No idea who he is.
Yeah. So we talked about the story the other day. Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lohr, I think was the billionaire's name. They are buying the Timberwolves. They're going to take over in a couple of years. And so, obviously, in the post-game Zoom, might ask one of the players, hey, what are your thoughts on Alex Rodriguez buying your team? And this is what Anthony Edwards from the Timberwolves had to say.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? Who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez.
He said, a fan? What you mean, who is he?
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know about baseball.
I know he's finna be the owner, but I don't know anything about baseball.
One of the best quotes ever. It's just so good. I don't know anything about baseball. Amazing. Has no idea who A-Rod is. Knows who J-Lo is, though. If you asked him, hey, do you know who J-Lo is? He'd be like, yeah, I know who J-Lo is. Damn right I know who J-Lo is.
Oh,
wow.
He's dating J-Lo. Okay.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. Respect.
Is that crazy to you, though? Like, just, you know, grow up in America and not know who A-Rod is, and then be an athlete, even in a different sport, and not know who A-Rod is?
Is A-Rod, A-Rod's a global guy, right?
He is.
Like
Anthony Edwards is
MVP?
19 years old.
But by the time Anthony Edwards was born, A-Rod had already completed his entire time with the Mariners.
Yeah.
And was already on the Texas Rangers. By the time he was old enough, you know, 6 or 7 to even, like, understand what baseball was, he was already well into his stint with the Yankees. And if he ever did pay attention to baseball, maybe, might have heard a little bit about the end of A-Rod's tenure with the Yankees, but never saw A-Rod in his prime at all. I mean, I don't know. Haven't we been saying for the last 20 years that baseball needs to do more to appeal to the youth? That can't imagine Anthony Edwards. He probably never watched a baseball game growing up at all. Not that surprised that he doesn't know who A-Rod is.
Well, he literally said, hey, I know nothing about baseball. Nothing. It's fantastic. It's what every new owner wants to hear.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't, I don't, know nothing about baseball.
I love it. I thought it was awesome. It was hysterical. And I think A-Rod will have a big-ass laugh about it. I really do. I think he'll laugh about it.
Ran into like a 20-something yesterday. Made me feel old. Didn't know who Winnie Cooper was. Well, do you know who Winnie Cooper is?
Yeah, from the Wonder Years.
Yeah, Paul, do you know Winnie Cooper?
I know the name.
You know the name, but see, even Paul, who's in his 30s, it's not, like, to me, that's a no-brainer.
Wasn't the...
Danica McKellar.
Well, yeah, but...
A-Rod, a little more recent than the
Wonder
Years.
Yes, than Winnie Cooper.
I don't know if that was a great...
Who's a, all right, who's a bigger star, Winnie Cooper or A-Rod?
A-Rod is
well,
a bigger
A-Rod,
star.
Right.
It's just those things that make you feel old that you think everyone should know, but they don't all know, especially anyone who's, you know, under 30. Doesn't necessarily know Winnie Cooper or A-Rod.
Winnie Cooper. All right.
Interesting.
You know, she's from San Diego.
I did not know.
You did not
I
know
really
that.
Did not know that, I swear. I did not.
I love any connection to San Diego.
Yes, we know.
Danica McKellar, San
more
Diego.
More than anyone on the planet.
More than anyone on the planet, yeah. It's in the the newscaster's, San Diego newscaster's handbook. When in doubt, make a San Diego connection. When in doubt.
I think I can make a connection here.
All right.
So Nick Chubb from Woodsy's beloved Cleveland Browns coming out with a new cereal.
Ooh.
It's going to be for charity. It's called Chubb Crunch. It's supposed to taste something like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And he's working with the company
without PLD. The shrimp
tails. Minus the shrimp tails.
Yeah,
I was waiting. It was either going to be me or you. I knew you would beat me, so go ahead.
He's working with this company jokes. That works with athletes to create food products that they can endorse. They did Flutie Flakes and Bootios.
Bootios.
John David Booty.
John David Booty had his own cereal?
I was going to say Nick Chubb had his own cereal, but that just got blown out of the water by John David Booty.
Booty.
Bootios.
USC quarterback had his own cereal. Did John David Booty even play a day in the NFL?
I bet it tasted like utter disappointment if it was John David Booty's. Bootio.
Bootios. There's a picture of him in a Vikings uniform.
Yeah. I'm sure he was a backup at some point. Did he actually get in?
He, of course, played at USC with Reggie Bush.
Right.
Who? Anybody?
Helix High School. Yeah.
There's your San Diego connection.
Bushios? No, I don't know him. Did he have a cereal?
Bush.
I don't know.
Booty, Chubb. There's a pattern forming here.
Well,
Bushy's Mini Wheats.
Proceeds from Chubb Crunch, which, like I said, will taste similar to Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's going to go to the nonprofit First Candle, which is working to eradicate sudden infant death syndrome and also help families that have been affected by that.
Awful.
So, Chubb said, it's always been my dream to have my own cereal, especially one that benefits a cause that is close to my family. He had a nephew who died from SIDS.
Ah, it's so sad.
Okay, that is a good cause, so I won't make too much fun of Nick Chubb having his own cereal.
I think it's cool. I always wanted, when I was a kid, I wanted to try one of those Reggie bars. Reggie Jackson had his own candy bar, and I read like a story about it. And you couldn't get them. I mean, they stopped making them after like a year. But I remember they showed the video of Yankee Stadium, people like throwing their Reggie bars like all over the place. I just always wanted to know what it tasted
Everyone
like.
Everyone always thought Baby Ruths were named after Babe Ruth,
they're not.
The baseball player. But they were named after the daughter of Grover Cleveland, the president, who had a baby named Ruth.
Ruth Cleveland.
Named the candy bar after her.
I'm a big candy bar guy, if you couldn't tell.
Being an athlete, cereal, it's always been that connection. Boxes of Wheaties.
Wheaties, yeah.
You want to be on the cover of Wheaties.
Except Wheaties taste like doo-doo.
They're
so
horrible.
They're terrible.
Do they still exist?
They do.
It is like the worst tasting cereal.
They're not good.
What's your bottom like three of cereals?
Bottom three? Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Let me think for a minute. Bottom three cereals, the most hideous cereals out there.
The worst.
Shredded Wheat with no frosting. Yeah. My grandfather used to
eat
it.
That is awful.
He'd break it up
and
put buttermilk on it. Just kill me, dude. All right, so Shredded Wheat's absolutely hideous. Yeah. I don't like chocolatey cereal at all. So I don't either. I don't like Count Chocula or chocolate.
Cocoa Puffs. I don't do that either.
And I don't like peanut butter flavored cereal either. So there was like Reese's.
Grape Nuts.
Grape Nuts are disgusting. Disgusting. If we do hot cereals, I can go all day. Cream of Wheat, hideous. My mom used to force me.
Controversial opinion. Plain Cheerios, like non-honey nuts.
Disgusting.
This just does nothing for me.
Literally nothing. Mueslix. Mueslix looks like pretzels. Disgusting.
Kashi.
Kashi? Yeah, God! all you hippies eating your kashi. I'll be sucking down Lucky Charms and Crunch Berries till I die. Till I die. And they will kill me. And that's fine.
My kids would, if I tried to serve them like one of those
new slicks,
yeah, they'd look at me like, what? Are you crazy?
Can you have Shelly?
Why don't you love us, Dad?
Can you have Shelly get hidden video of you going to the cabinet, pulling out the shredded wheat bars and crumbling them in a bowl and handing them to your kids? Watching them just cry. They would cry. They would mad cry because the cereal would be so bad.
Yes, they should.
And they would be absolutely right to do so. Absolutely. I had Bo really likes Crunch Berries. Shocker. He gets one bowl. I get six. I ate them like last Friday night. My mouth is still shredded.
I love that.
Shredded. Story. It's like somebody took a grater to the inside of my roof, the roof of my mouth. Oh, that was great. I can do cereal talk all day. All day.
I don't know why. It was a texture thing, maybe. I loved Trix cereal when they were the fruit shapes, and then they just made them
the
all
balls.
Just the balls. Different
I never
colors.
Liked Trix, really, either.
I enjoyed Trix in my
I like
life.
Fruity Pebbles, though.
Oh, yeah.
God,
they got
bless.
Too soggy too quick for
they
me.
Really do.
Eat them fast, though, and they are really good.
Yeah. Turns into a nice
Rice
bowl
Krispies
of,
without any sugar, though?
No, hideous. Nah. Life without any... You gotta have a little sugar.
Life's
Cinnamon
got,
Life's amazing.
Life's got a little tiny bit of sweetness. Mm. I can deal with life.
All right, finally, there's an Australian airline, Qantas, who is trying something new, and a lot of people are speculating that maybe this is going to be a new thing. Mystery flights.
This is fascinating to me.
So, in Australia, and really any country in the world right now, a lot of people have been confused kind of on where they can and cannot travel, like,
yeah,
especially like internationally with a lot of borders being closed. And so Qantas is doing these, they're doing three mystery flight experiences.
Yes.
And it'll include not only a ticket for the Boeing 737, but also an entire day of activities in a mystery destination, all of which are outside major capital cities. They're going to depart from Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne to a destination within approximately 2 hours and include low-level scenic flybys of key landmarks on the way. To help travelers prepare for the appropriate luggage, they're going to be provided clues about the destination. That's it.
That's pretty cool. You buy a ticket.
That's within the country, but I'm thinking, you know, a lot of people were talking about it yesterday when this was reported. Okay, would you get on a plane and know that you could be going anywhere in the world?
100%. My luck, I would end up in Toledo. They're like, pack a parka, gloves. I'm like, I don't want this. I don't want to do this. You land, you're like, welcome to Toledo.
Like, oh,
what am I going to do here? Just go to Applebee's?
You don't have a hotel reservation either.
Just,
good luck.
Have fun in Toledo.
Oh, this is cool. I'm going to Dubai. Ben, what about you? Oh,
no,
I'm going
sorry.
To Iceland.
I'm going to Des Moines. That's where I'm going.
I'm going to Omaha.
Sucks. I think that is a really... I asked my wife this
it's
question.
An all-inclusive trip, meal.
All-inclusive, okay.
All right, so
I asked my wife last night, would you do this? She goes, absolutely not. She is a planner. She planned every second of our honeymoon down to the minute and second. I said, would you do this? She said, no chance. None whatsoever. I said, I think it would be so much fun. But, I mean, it would suck to land somewhere you had no interest in going at all.
Cool. Look, I'm in Delaware.
Yeah, Delaware. Right on. Well, it'd be fun. There's history there. But, like, somewhere in middle America, North Dakota, South Dakota, it'd be tough. It'd be tough.
It would be cool, though, if they do this internationally. And then
I think it'd be
like,
awesome.
You could go anywhere in the world, and you have no idea, and you're like, all right, it says I need to pack flip-flops, but also a parka.
Right,
where
yeah, exactly. Where
I
could
going?
I be going? I'm in.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, very much. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It's our Rindle Report here on a Monday. Woodsy has our Daily Diddy selection.
Little Diddy.
Then we'll start talking more Padres baseball again, continue the debate about last night's 8-4 loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Does make today's game even more important, though, that's for sure. We'll get to that first. Let's check traffic with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.